You're listening to Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickard. Coming up, we'll look at a new report about opioid deaths in Milwaukee County. First, a recent study found that expanding certain state gun control laws nationwide could drastically cut back on the amount of firearm deaths in the country. The report from Boston University School of Public Health says that laws like background checks for purchases of guns and ammunition, as well as making firearms traceable, are among the most effective ways to lower gun deaths. The authors of the study even go so far as to say that if these three laws were adopted nationwide, gun-related deaths would drop by 80%. But do these studies have any effect on the enactment of gun control laws and the current state of that debate? Adam Winkler joins us now. He's a professor of law at UCLA and the author of the book Gunfight, The Battle Over the Right to Bear Arms in America. Adam, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks so much for having me.
So in general, how much do studies like this one have on the overall gun debate in America?
Well, I don't think that these studies have a tremendous impact today because it's so ideologically driven. People who are opposed to gun control, really not that open-minded about what studies show with regards to public safety, and often many people who are opposed to guns tend to close their eyes to these kinds of studies as well. But I think the more and more studies we get, the more people in the middle will really start to be persuaded that certain kinds of gun control laws can work, but also that certain kinds of gun control laws that are very popular really won't work and that we should move beyond them.
Well, do we have enough data about what works and what might not work as well when it comes to preventing gun deaths?
We really don't, and in part that's because there's been very few studies on the effectiveness of gun safety prevention legislation. There have been some, but for the most part, given the fact that about 30,000 people a year lose their lives to gun violence, very, very few studies relative to that number. In part, that's because the Center for Disease Control, which is one of the biggest funders of studies into public health problems, has been shut down as a method of financing gun research. The NRA and its allies in Congress some years ago passed a law that said that the CDC could not use any of its funding to promote gun control studies. And ever since then, both the CDC and the National Institutes of Health, which finances a lot of research into public health problems, have sort of stayed away from gun control issues for fear of losing funding.
Well, given that, how does an electorate make informed decisions about how to prevent gun violence?
Well, I think that's very difficult to do without good information. Instead, what we end up doing is relying on bad information. And so we see this a lot in the gun area. There's been a very popular study that has been influential and does suggest maybe, as your first question asked, that maybe some people can be swayed by these studies, which is the very well-known More Guns, Less Crime studies of John Lott that seem to suggest that if you made it easier for people to carry guns on the streets, then we see the rates of violent crime go down. Those studies have been significantly challenged, however, and very few social scientists believe those studies are really reliable, but they've really informed the gun debate so far.
So looking specifically again at this new study from Boston University saying that if there were universal background checks, if the gun and the ammunition were traceable to the owner, then the death rate would drop significantly. Based on what you've seen, is that a reasonable conclusion that maybe has been duplicated elsewhere?
Well, this was sort of a study of studies where they tried to get as much information had been as many studies has been promoted and published before, and tried to analyze all that data. And they analyzed a whole bunch of different kinds of gun control laws, and it had a little bit to offer for both sides of the gun debate. It found that there were many gun laws that actually were not associated with reductions in mortality, and did find a few like universal background checks and ammunition. Identification and background checks when you bought ammunition to be associated with reductions in mortality. I'm not sure that the study's findings that it would lead to something like an 80% drop in mortality rates if we had federal background checks really passes the smell test, but that's what the numbers led these social scientists to conclude. And as good social scientists, you go where the numbers take you.
And you did say earlier that it did find that some popular laws were not so effective. Which laws were you talking about?
Well, for instance, take something like bans on assault weapons. These have become very popular. In fact, they might consider them one of the biggest agenda items in the gun control movement's agenda today, which is to ban the sale of these military-style assault rifles. And the study found that actually where states banned assault weapons, it was actually associated with increases in mortality. And why that might be the case, we might think, is that people generally don't bring rifles around to create criminal activity, and if you do, you tend to have to hide them very well. But a handgun's real easy to conceal, and it may be that if you're banned from having that rifle, you're going to take the handgun, and you may be even more likely to use it.
We're talking right now with Adam Winkler, professor of law at UCLA and the author of the book Gunfight, The Battle Over the Right to Bear Arms in America. We're taking as a starting point a new study from Boston University that says by having universal background checks, the gun mortality rate would drop by 80%. Also, some other measures included in that. And Adam, looking at some of the things you've said in the past about gun rights and gun control philosophies, you said they can coexist and they have done so in the past. How would you gauge the current temperature in the debate over gun laws?
Well, it seems pretty fever pitch right now, right? There's no doubt that the gun debate is very, very rife with anger, recrimination, a lack of trust on both sides. But I do think that we have a society today where we have a right to bear arms, but we also have gun control laws on the books, and we've always had gun control laws on the books. And I think what we need to do is find that place in the middle where we can, both sides can come to agreement, where we can agree that, yes, people do have a right to have guns in their home for personal protection, but also that things like universal background checks to do everything we can to keep guns out of the hands of criminals and the mentally ill are not only constitutionally permissible, but good, sound policies that everyone should support. But it's going to take a while before we find that moderate middle. We're certainly not there now.
Now, you look at this Boston University study. They're saying there could be an 80% drop in gun mortality rates if these, if things like universal background checks are adopted. That's one, tracing the ownership back and the ammunition, tracing those, that's another. You said that didn't pass the sniff test for you. Why not?
Well, it's not that, it just seems like the numbers seem outrageously large to think that we're going to drop 80% by just having background checks when we already have 320 million guns in circulation in America. It just doesn't seem like that number can actually be right. Now, granted, that's what the numbers of the social scientists, that's what they found, but it's really just a prediction, and it seems to me that prediction would be off just because we already have so many guns in our country, and that it's pretty easy at this point in time for a criminal to get their hands on guns, even if you have universal background checks. So I think we should expect more modest reductions in crime, but we should see some reductions nonetheless.
How controversial are universal background checks today?
Well, as you may recall, that after the Newtown shooting in December of 2012, President Obama made a big push to get a new federal law requiring universal background checks adopted. And he was not able to get that law adopted because of opposition in some circles. And so I think it is still controversial whether you get it. And I think one of the reasons why President Obama's proposals were knocked down was for fear that it would lead to the federal government creating a gun registry. But I think that could easily be avoided by well-drafted legislation that eases the concerns of the NRA on those issues.
And who would be drafting that legislation? Is there a political will to do something like that?
There is a political will among some to do it, but I think that there is no one who really believes that such a law could get through the Senate or through the House at this moment in time. You know, we're going to have an election in November, and that election may change the composition of the House and may change the composition of the Senate, which might lead to a different political calculus. But these things are long-term problems. They're not short-term problems, and that what proponents on both sides of this issue should be doing is focusing on the long-term fight for what they believe in. That's where you're going to make some accomplishments, probably not in the next year or two.
We're talking with Adam Winkler right now about the current state of the country's debate over gun control, and you can join the conversation. Would you be in favor of a state or a national law like the ones we're talking about if they could be proven to drastically reduce gun deaths, as the study from Boston University says? Do you like the idea of universal background checks for guns or ammunition buyers, or being able to trace weapons back to their owner. And if you're opposed to these kinds of laws, would anything make you change your mind? You can let us know at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can leave a comment on the Central Time Facebook page. We're taking a look at a new study from Boston University that found background checks and making a gun traceable to its owner are especially effective at reducing gun deaths. And you can join our conversation. Would you be in favor of a state law like this, a national like this, like the ones we're talking about, suggested by Boston University? Do you like the idea of background checks for guns and ammunition buyers? And if you're not on board with these laws, what do you think you would propose to reduce gun mortality? Call 800-642-1234. And UCLA law professor Adam Winkler stays with us now. We go first to Todd, joining us from Baraboo. Hi, Todd.
Hello. It seems like the big hang-up is that gun ownership is a right that's, or gun possession is a right that's guaranteed in the Constitution. Well, we also have a right to free speech. But there's any number of things that if I were to post on the Internet, the government would and probably should come down pretty hard on me. How is the right of free speech, the limitations put on that, any different than the sensible limitations that can be put on gun ownership?
Todd, thanks for that. And Adam, what about that?
It's a great point, and it's a great response to those people who say the Second Amendment says the right to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed, and that means that you can't have gun control laws. And the truth of the matter is none of our constitutional rights are absolute. The Supreme Court has said, yes, you have the right to free speech, but that right to free speech can be limited. It can be limited. For instance, you have a right to free speech. You don't get to go into a courtroom while it's in session and start declaring your support for Donald Trump or for Hillary Clinton. It's just not an appropriate vehicle, and if the government has sufficiently strong reasons to limit your speech in a particular place, they can do so. And the same thing with regards to guns, and the Supreme Court made clear in its Heller decision in 2008, where the court specifically held there was a right of individuals to keep and bear arms, that the right was not absolute, and that laws banning felons from having guns, or the mentally ill from having guns, or restricting guns in sensitive places like government buildings or schools were still constitutionally permissible. And it's an important lesson for all of us to learn. No rights are absolute.
Todd, appreciate that call. And we'll go back to Cody in Madison now. Cody, hi.
Hi.
What did you want to say?
I was just a little interested. I kind of want to start off by saying, I'm all for sensible gun control because I kind of know a little bit more than some people, I guess. I know that background checks, for instance, aren't permanent. They do them nationally and then they get rid of them. But I was more interested, these studies always look at and they say, you know, there's 30,000 to 40,000 deaths a year. And a lot of those deaths are actually suicides. Like, actually looking at the CDC report, it was almost two-thirds of the deaths are suicides. And I'm just kind of wondering, how could, especially since most people who commit suicide are able to pass a background check and legally buy ammunition and guns, how could some of these common sense laws actually change that?
Cody, appreciate the call. And Cody bringing up whether or not the numbers are skewed a little bit, not taking into account suicides. What do you say to that, Adam?
Well, it's a great point. We have to remember that Cody's right. About two-thirds of all gun deaths every year are suicides. Suicides are a different phenomenon than, say, school shootings or normal criminal homicide, and probably requires different answers than trying to stop criminal gun violence. I will say that the study that you're talking about from The Lancet was careful to distinguish the effect on suicide versus homicide and looked at these various different gun control laws and how they might affect both homicide and suicide. So the researchers are attentive to that difference, and it's one that perhaps we need to be more attentive to as people discuss public policy.
Cody, appreciate that call at 800-642-1234. And we're going to go next to Jan, joining us in Chippewa Falls. Hi, Jan.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thanks.
Well, I'm a lifelong Democrat, and I'm from a small town in Illinois. And I was recently chatting on Facebook with a couple of men from my hometown. One lives in Texas, one lives in Louisiana, and the amount of anger and rage towards Democrats was unbelievable. Like saying statements like, all Democrats want to take away our guns. And it was like, wait. And I would write to them, I'm a Democrat, and I'm not trying to take away your guns. I want really common sense gun control.
Jan, appreciate that call. Jan, getting at how difficult it can be just to talk about this, let alone agree on any sort of policy. Why do you think it is that this is, of all the issues out there, why is this such a polarizing one?
Well, that's such a great question, and it is very polarizing, and in part because I think people have very, very different understandings of how to reduce gun crime. I mean, I think there's a lot of people who believe the best thing we can do to reduce gun deaths is to get rid of guns. And there's a bunch of people in our country who believe the exact opposite, that they think the best way to reduce gun crime is to have more guns, and that if you have more guns, then people won't assault other people on the street for fear that they're going to assault someone who has a gun and who will shoot them. And when you have such different worldviews, it's really hard to come to that middle ground. I also think that in the gun world, we've seen the NRA and others continually promote the idea that any form of gun control is really just a slippery slope towards total gun confiscation, and that even someone like President Obama, who, whether he may be anti-gun or whatnot, if you believe that, has never come out in support of taking away anyone's guns since he's been president, has never promoted any such policy, has specifically said he supports the Heller decision that recognized a right to bear arms, and yet the NRA continually runs against him, saying that he has got a 10-point plan to take away our guns. I think we're going to see the same thing about Hillary, too, who's not promoting the idea of gun confiscation, but nonetheless, I'm sure she'll be accused of doing just that in this coming election.
And Adam, as we get ready to wrap up here, we've got a nominee from President Obama, Merrick Garland, to the Supreme Court. If he were to be nominated, which seems, you know, anyone can say it's not likely per se, but it's not out of the question. How would that, do you think, influence the gun control debate?
Well, you know, he would be replacing on the Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia, who wrote the Heller decision in 2008 and has been a big, strong backer on the Supreme Court for expansive understandings of our constitutional right to bear arms. Presumably, Judge Garland would not have necessarily that same broad view. There are those who believe that if Judge Garland gets on the court, that would mean there's five justices who are prepared to overturn the Heller case. I don't think that's quite right. I'm not really sure that the liberals on the court are eager to upset the right to bear arms, in part because the Heller decision has not really prevented most state and local governments from enacting good and effective gun control laws. And even just today, the court, in a per curiam opinion, overturned a decision in Massachusetts that held that stun guns were not protected by the Second Amendment. And all the justices joined that opinion, suggesting that even the liberal justices are not as hostile to the Second Amendment and to the Heller case as one might imagine.
And we leave it there. Adam, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
That was UCLA Law Professor Adam Winkler talking about how studies and statistics can influence our debate over gun control laws. A new study from Boston University shows background checks and the requirement to make guns traceable to their owner are the most effective laws when it comes to gun policy.